This is going to be an advanced teaching for Calulus people. We've already covered before on the Gospel of John. And you go back to other tapes according to the Gospel of John. And we know just to do a summary, but we're going to cover a specific area today called John 1, 28 to chapter 4, verse 3. As we said before, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what you've got to realize is that all men were supposed to come to the three feasts each year. And we know with Yahushua and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he was only there once. And John, he's there three, four times. And so we've got to say Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the literal. Why would John have to be a figure? Because it contradicts the literal. And so we're going to find out, if you take it literally, it's going to contradict it. So it has to be put into the format of a parable. So a parable, which we can see, somebody want to read Luke 8:10?
You mean up from here?
No. But this shows you that people know this, and Bible, anybody who's read the Word, who has done any intense reading, realize that there is something definitely wrong with the Gospel of John. It can't be taken literal, and it can't be unified with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which we've done before. So we'll show the significance on that. Go ahead and read about parable.
And he said, "Unto you hath it been given to get to know the sacred secrets of the kingdom of Elohim, but unto the rest in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this.
Oh, that's all right. So really, the parable was when our eyes get open. Many people don't want their eyes opened. All right. And so it's better to keep them shut. And we know that with the Apostle Paul when he was in 1 Corinthians. He says, one says, I'm Apollos, I am, are you not fleshly? Aren't you cardinal Christians? You know, I can't give you meat. You're not ready for meat. You're ready for milk. All I can give you is milk. So the majority of Christians drink milk. They can't have meat. And actually, most of the pastors also. So, for this to be unusual to us, we should be shocked that we should have known this, in my particular case, 50 years ago. I should have known this. If you've done any kind of search, you're going to find out this is common knowledge, but nobody's going to address it. So E.W. Bollinger commentaries, nobody else is going to address it. But nevertheless, it's true. And if our eyes are open, and then if somebody tries to explain that to us later on, well, our eyes already been opened. We already know this. And it's only for people who are mature, who can handle truth. So, let us begin. And Matthew 3, 13.
Matthew 3 what?
13. No, it's not according to this. This is just an illustration. As you can see, Matthew, Mark, and Luke coordinate all the way through. You can have a situation where it is not referred to in Matthew or Mark, like in Luke, the widow's son was raised from among the dead on the briar. That's only recorded in Luke. But it does not contradict Matthew or Mark.
Right.
So it's just new information. So there's information. As long as it doesn't contradict, because the word can't contradict itself. So this was an illustration that people realize how Matthew, Mark, and Luke agree.
Synoptic gospel.
Yeah, the synoptic gospel. And as we know, John should have never been with the four gospels. It should have been, you should have Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Acts agree. And John should have been put before the book of Revelation. And as we know, Acts agrees. You know, if Christ, you know, this is off the subject, but if Christ had been to Jerusalem nine times, you know, three times every year, then everybody would have known who his apostles were, because his apostles were with him. And everybody would have known who Christ was. And so when you're looking in the book of Acts, you find out that the high priests don't know who these guys are. Nobody can identify the apostles. And, well, that doesn't make sense at all, because they've been there for 3.5 years. Everybody would have known who Kenneth Copeland was, or anybody else on their face. So you have to see Acts agrees with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it really ties in with Luke, as we've done before. But John is in a place all by its own, self. So we're going to see, okay, the sequence of events and Christ entering the ministry. What are the sequence of events? And we're going to see right through this. We all know this. He gets baptized by John the Immerser, and then what happens? Where does he go?
In the wilderness.
He goes in the wilderness. Doesn't happen in John. You know, there is no wilderness. And so we know in Matthew, Mark, we're going to see he gets baptized by John. He goes into the wilderness for how long?
40 days and 40 nights.
And then we're going to see that John the Immerser is taken captive when he comes into Galilee. And then Yahushua comes into Galilee and begins his ministry. These are just the simple events. And we're going to verify that in Matthew 1, 9 through 14.
So Matthew 1?
Chapter 1, yeah. Sorry, did I say something else? Matthew 3.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Mark. Matthew 3. And remember, Yahweh did this. So there's either two things. Is the Gospel of John doesn't belong in the Word of Yahweh, or it belongs in the Word of Yahweh, and it's in one large parable that we have taken literal, which it cannot be.
Like
it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean the teaching's any less different. Parable, figures of speech, brings more emphasis. But 3, verse 13, then cometh Yahushua from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be immersed by him. So we see that. But he would have hindered him, saying, I have need by thee to be immersed, and dost thou come unto me? But Yahushua answering and said unto him, suffer me now, even for thus become of us, fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Yahushua, having been immersed, straightway went out from the water, and lo, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of Elohim, or Spirit of Yahweh, descending like a dove upon him, and lo, a voice out of the heavens, saying, this is my Son, the Beloved, whom I delight. Now, look at, let's see here, 4, 1 and 2. And what happened? Then, as in time, Yahushua was led into the wilderness by the Ruach to be tempted by the adversary. And so we know that. And then 11 and 12, after the temptation, then the adversary leaving him, and lo, messengers came near and began ministering to him. And hearing that John had been what?
Delivered up,
he retired into Galilee. And forsaken Nazareth, so we know that his home was Capernaum, and he was raised in Nazareth, but his home was Capernaum. Okay, Mark agrees with that. Matthew, let's go to Mark 1. Verse 9 through 14. And it came to pass in that day, those days, that Yahushua came from Nazareth to the Galilee and was immersed into the Jordan by John, and John's name is really Yohanan, which means Yahweh's favor. And straightway as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens rending asunder, and the Ruach as a dove descending upon him, and a voice came out of the heavens, thou art my Son, the Beloved, in thee I delight. And straightway, the Ruach urged him forth into the wilderness. Okay, so we know that. And, and then 14, right, goes right into the wilderness, and then goes right into out of the wilderness. And after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the glad message of Yahweh. Okay, wilderness, go to Galilee, John's been delivered up. Luke 3, 31.
Okay, just a minute.
Or 21, sorry.
Wait.
21 and 22. You want to read that, Aaron?
Luke 3:21.
Yeah, 3:21 and 22.
Now it came to pass when one and all the people were immersed, Yehoshua also, having been immersed and being at prayer, heaven was opened, and the Ruach HaKodesh descended in bodily appearance as a dove upon him. And a voice out of heaven came, Thou art my Son, the Beloved, in Thee I delight.
Now if we go to 4 verse 1,
the temptation. And Yehoshua, full of Ruach HaKodesh, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Ruach into the desert 40 days, being tempted by the adversary. He did eat nothing in those days. Okay, no.
Yeah, okay, so we've got that, 14 and 15. And Yahushua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report went out among the whole of the regions concerning him. So it doesn't mention John here. Let me see here. Oh, and the other thing, too, is... Let's go back to 3:23. How old was Yahushua when he started his ministry?
About
30. So he was not 30 years old. I heard Kenneth Copeland saying he was 30 years old. I mean, this is just ridiculous. The only place he's going to do this, he was about 30. So that means he was not...
Quite.
He wasn't 30.
He was not 30.
He's not 30. He's not 30 years old. Now, we're going to say maybe 29, you know, so when you say about 30... So we see that, you know, here is the sequence. Now we're going to go into the Gospel of John.
Well, I thought we were going back to Luke 3.
No. We just read the verse. He's about 30.
All that. Okay.
That's just a little significant thing. Read what the Scripture says. And I heard Kenneth Copeland talking about it. He was 30 years old because you couldn't be a Levite unless you were 30 and on and on. Well, it says right here, he wasn't 30. I mean, how incredibly you can make statements like that when it's so removed. Now we're going to look at the sequence of events in John. There's nothing like this. So we know in Matthew, Mark, and Luke agree. John does not agree at all. So we're going to start with John 1:28. And here is, these things in Bethany came to pass beyond the Jordan where John was immersing. And on the morrow he beheld Yahushua coming unto him and said, See the Lamb of Yahweh, who taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, and before me hath advanced, because my chief was he. Let's see here. Yeah, we'll keep reading 34. And I knew him not, but that he might be manifest unto Israel. Therefore I came in the water, immersing, and John, Yohanan, came bearing witness, saying, I have gazed upon the Ruach, descending like a dove out of the heavens, and abode upon him. Okay, that's agrees with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to immerse in the water, he unto me said, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Ruach descending and abiding upon him, the same as he that immersed in the holy Ruach. I therefore have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of Yahweh. Now, what's the next verse?
He went into the temptation.
No. Yeah. No. What's the next verse? On the morrow. So now we got time. And we're going to see there is no
wilderness.
There's no wilderness. There is no 40 days and 40 life. And we're going to talk about 3 days occurred on the morrow. On the morrow again was John standing and from among his disciples too and looking at Yahushua walking. He says, See the Lamb of God, Lamb of Yahweh. And his two disciples hearkened unto him speaking. They followed Yahushua. Well, where was Yahushua? He went to the wilderness.
40 days.
Yeah, for 40 days and 40 nights. This is not happening. But Yahushua turning and looking at them, following, said unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, what meaneth, when translated teacher, where abidest thou? And he said unto me, Be coming, and ye shall see. They came therefore and saw where he abode, and with him they abode that day. Well, that didn't happen. He was in the wilderness. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard from John and followed him was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. The same findeth first his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found the Messiah. Well, that didn't happen because he's in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. which is then translated anointed. He led him unto Yahushua. Yahushua looking at him and said, thou art Simon, son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas. When he'll be translated Peter on the morrow. Watch this. On the morrow. Okay?
2 days.
Now, this is day two. So we saw on the morrow on verse 35. There's a lot of reading, Wendy. That's why I'm going faster, because there's a lot of reading. But you have to say, okay, now, on the morrow, day two, he desired to go forth into Galilee, who? Yahushua. And Yahushua findeth Philip and said unto him, be following me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And you can read the rest about Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. He says, you are the Christ. He says, if you saw this, you're going to see a lot more. Yeah. And 51, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see heaven when set open, and the messengers of Yahweh ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And on the what day?
Third day.
Okay, so we know tomorrow, on the third day. Well, where was he on the third day after he got baptized?
In the wilderness
by himself. So on the third day, you have to say, no, this isn't, and what is it? And it's the marriage in Canaan where he turns water into wine. Well, that didn't happen. Literally. Because he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He wasn't on the third day after his baptism, where he was never tempted of Satan and everything else. So we were looking at it on the third day, and so all this is a figure, because it can't be taken literal. The marriage in Canaan, the first sign, and we could read all that, but everybody knows about it, and that's why it's not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. So none of this stuff is going to be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so when you start looking at the comparison of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's gap after gap after gap, because there's no record of any of this. Now we know in verse 11, this beginning of his signs did Yahushua in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Well, we know the next place that he goes, and after this he came down into Capernaum, he and his mother and brethren and his disciples, and there abode not many days. That could be true if he wasn't in the wilderness. But we know the next place, and near was the Passover of the Jews, and Yahushua went up unto Jerusalem. And so in other teachings we've realized, if you look at the word Jerusalem in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's only during the end of his ministry. So in the end of his ministry, he goes into Jerusalem where they murder him. So this, and when you're looking at here too, he turns over the table day 4 or 5 in Jerusalem. That didn't happen, because that's a figure of speech also, because he wasn't in Jerusalem. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he only went to Jerusalem once. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, ye that slay the prophets. That's why he didn't go to Jerusalem. Because he only went to Jerusalem because he was going to be murdered. So if he would have been there 9 times, everybody would have known what he looked like. You don't need Judas to give him a kiss to identify him to the mob. That's the guy. Well, we all know what he looks like. It'd be like, that's telling Obama what I know what Obama looks like, or Donald Trump, or anything else. So nothing else clicks when you start looking at this, in the situation. So we're going to look at the cleansing of the temple did not happen. And also in that temple situation was Nicodemus, chapter 3. Nicodemus was in the temple. Didn't happen because Yahushua was not in the temple. He was not in Jerusalem. Now, let's see here. Oh. So we know you must be born from above, and he goes to Nicodemus, And in verse 3:21, but he that doeth the truth cometh unto the light, and his works be manifest, that in Yahweh they have been wrought. Now, we know Yahushua went into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's never in Jerusalem, except for one time, and he's murdered. Now, remember Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the sequence of events, he's immersed, he goes off by himself for 40 days and 40 nights, he comes to Galilee after who has been taken, delivered
John.
John the Immerser. Well, we're going to find out here, John the Immerser is not taken up. Now watch this.
What? Where are you?
In verse 22. You know, after Nicodemus, you know, being in Jerusalem. After these things came Yahushua and his disciples into the Judean land, and there he tarried with them and immersing. So we realize, knowing with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there is no immersing by Yahushua or this account. Nicodemus is not in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. All the incidents we've covered so far have nothing to do with Matthew, Mark, or Luke. They are completely oblivious to them. And that's why people doubted many times the authenticity of this gospel.
Authenticity
of this gospel, because you see things like this, well, wait a minute, if you go on a time scale, it's completely contradicts the other three gospels. And John, who was immersing in Aeon near the Salem, because many waters were there, and we know that when he came back from the wilderness, where was John? He was in prison. So, this is now, he is, so we've got in the book of John, in this, that he goes, he gets immersed, he makes disciples, right off the bat. There is no wilderness. There is no 40 days and 40 nights. He goes into Canaan, makes water into wine at a wedding. And it's always funny, too, because his mother said, well, whatever he says, do. Well, wait a minute here. That's really strange.
His mother actually,
in this particular case, was thinking that this guy could do miracles. And no other place does his mother ever look at that. In those situations. But here's the water to the wine. He goes to Jerusalem, turns over the table. At the beginning of his ministry, he goes to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was in Jerusalem, so that didn't happen. And now he's going into the Jordan again, and John's immersing instead of being taken captive by Herod.
Yeah, at the same time, there's no parallel.
Yeah, there's no parallel. And so watch what happens. For not yet had John been cast into prison. So if you look at verse 24, for not yet had John been cast into prison. Well, we know that John was delivered up
while he was in
the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights.
40 days after he baptized him, he was in prison, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're looking at, well, he had to be within those 40 days and 40 nights that he was in the wilderness, because then when he came to Galilee, John had been delivered up. Well, John is not delivered up here, and not only is he not delivered up, there arose therefore a question from among the disciples of John with the Jews concerning purification. They came unto John and said unto him, and it goes all the way through here, right? Right up to 4:1. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard Jesus more disciples is making and immersing than John, that has no bearing in Matthew, Mark, or Luke or anything.
Has he baptized anybody?
Him and his disciples were immersing. It's going to say, although indeed Jesus or Yahushua was not immersing, but his disciples, he left Judea because he wasn't in Judea. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So you're looking at this whole end of chapter 3 all the way up to 4:3, and we know he was in Galilee. Then you could make, and the woman at the well could have happened, because it's not in Judea, And the woman at the well begins right after. Now he must need pass through Samaria, becoming therefore, or the woman at the fountain. Because that doesn't contradict Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Alright? The only thing we could say is it had to be after the 40 days he was in the wilderness. So everything before cannot be real. It cannot be a reality because he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40
Except
nights.
Except it's more than a reality because it's a figure.
Yeah, so now you have to say, okay, so what it is it's either two things. It's not true.
Yeah.
And what I believe it is true, the gospel, and people love John. Mm-hmm. So it has to be a figure. It has to be a parable. And that's where we're going to see with, you know, what parables are, people's eyes are opened. And so our eyes should be open. You know, I've been studying the Word for 50 years and never put this stuff together.
Yeah.
If you just read the Scriptures and did due diligence, everybody would know that this, none of this stuff can be. You can't reconcile the three books to one book. Mm-hmm. The one book has to be reconciled to the three agreeing testimonies. And we've got that right here, so, you know, three agreeing testimonies all the way through there. And so Yahushua has only been in Jerusalem when he died, when he was murdered. And so anytime in the Gospel of John that he's in Jerusalem, it cannot be. And that's the man born blind. He was in the temple, so that cannot be. And so what I've got is a list here. So I had to add this to...
Where are you going?
I'm just going to give you the figures. Okay. So, now chapter 135, this is after he was immersed, to 4:3 is all a parable.
Hmm.
It's a parable. Then we go into, let's say here.
135 were on the more, were the first disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, then I've got chapter 5, verse 1 through 47 is a parable, because he was in Jerusalem, which he cannot be in Jerusalem. Then, if you put that into your book, where's the other one? I should have had these written out.
What did you say? That was what?
Five.
Yeah, five, verse one. And then you see right there, after these things was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up unto Jerusalem. Well, he was not in Jerusalem. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so from 5:1, the whole time he's in Jerusalem, he was not in Jerusalem. So that is a figure of speech. And then there's one other great part. Let me see where it is.
Chapter 7, verse 10.
Well, no. Do I have that? Yeah, the Feast of Booths, you know, so that was, yep. So the figure, yeah, is chapter 7, verse 10. You're right.
Verse
2 is a figure because he went to the feast in Jerusalem. And so 7:10 to chapter 10, verse 39 is a figure. Because all this time he's in Jerusalem again and again and again and again. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all you've got to do is to do this. And we've got a paper on this, and it's called the Gospel of John. You just go through Mark and write down every location that he was in. And then you go to Matthew, every location that he was in. And then you go to Luke, every location that he was in, and you're going to see all that agrees right here. So these are, and he's only in Jerusalem once. So by doing a search on the word Jerusalem, you're going to find that out. He's only in Jerusalem once. Why in John he's there? That's when they come up with 3.5 years instead of actually 6 months or less. So his ministry was 6 months or less. And why do we say that? We know in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he went to the Passover, and that is the third month. And the last festival was Festival of Booths, which was the seventh month. And so, since he was never at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he was never at the Festival of Booths, which you had to be, every male had to be.
You break the law.
So what you've got is a 6-month time period between the Festival of Booths and Passover. Mm-hmm. And so Yahushua's ministry was not a year. It was not 3.5 years. It was 6 months or less, according to the scriptures. And we know it's only about 4.5 months because he was 40 days in the wilderness, which is about 1.5 months. So you're looking at the whirlwind situation where this, and all it took was that. 4.5 months of healing, and you've got thousands and thousands of people coming to you.
Yeah.
And you got your apostles and everybody else going out to them. And then it is, now I've got to fulfill my ministry by going to Jerusalem. And what's going to happen in Jerusalem? I'm going to be murdered. And he knew that. Now, back to parables, let's look at Matthew again, and to be able to say, well, how can that be? And how come nobody else mentions this? Because it really becomes blasphemy. I think most people can't handle this. No matter what, they can't handle it. But so that's why it's...
Well, we do that with the book of Job. Everybody knows Job. Okay,
But
can't be literal.
But you can't... But with John, you've got to say, this is... when you go to Billy Graham and them, they want you, if you become a Christian, they want you to read the Gospel of John. And no, what should you have read?
Luke.
And Acts. It goes right in there because it goes with the very... foundation of John the Immerser, is Yahushua's birth and everything else. And they start off with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was flesh, and so forth. But we're looking at Matthew 13:3, and most people said he talked in parables to enlighten people. And we're going to find, no, it's just the opposite. 13:3. And he spake unto them many things in parables, saying, lo, the sower went forth to seed.
So,
okay. Now we go to 10 through 16. Chapter 13. We're talking about parables now, the purpose of parables. Are parables literal?
No,
they're not literal. Are they truths?
Yes.
Yes, they are truths. But they're not literal. That's why they're called a parable. Are they meant to be understood? No. Why do we say that?
It's like a puzzle.
Yeah, let's look at 10, chapter 13, verse 10 through 16. You want to read that, Melania?
Yep.
And this will tell us the purpose of parables. Go ahead.
And the disciples coming near said to him, wherefore in parables art thou speaking to them? And he answering said, because unto you hath it been given to get to know the sacred secrets of the kingdom of the heavens, whereas unto them hath it not been given. For whosoever hath, it shall be given to him, and he shall be made to abound, but whoever hath not, even what he hath shall be taken from him. For this reason, in parables unto them do I speak, because seeing they see not.
Okay, wait a minute.
They do not hear.
So seeing they what?
See not.
All right, interesting. Keep reading.
And they hear not, neither do they understand. And again is being fulfilled in them the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, they shall surely hear, and yet will not understand. They shall surely see, and yet not perceive. For the heart of this people hath become dense, and will their ears heavily hath heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their hearts should understand in return, wherein I would certainly heal them. But happy are your eyes that they see, and your ears that they hear.
Very simply. So that is something that anybody who has studied the scriptures, the only person who can get this is somebody who actually goes through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which on our paper, I've gone through every place, and you just track every city. Don't take my word for it, but you have to track your own cities to see that he did not go to Jerusalem until he was murdered. And we also know right off the bat is when he was immersed, everybody would say, where did he go after he was immersed?
to the
wilderness.
Yeah, wilderness. After he was immersed, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John goes the morrow, and on the third day. There is no wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely a whole nother narrative.
Yeah.
And then he goes into Jerusalem the first time his ministry, and John, and he overthrows the table. Matthew and Mark, no recollection whatsoever of this. And all the rest of the papers, you'll see that the man born blind, there's no record of that. You know, you go on and on, and he's in Jerusalem at that particular time. And so when you're looking at, you know, on the feast days, and his brothers said, if he's going up to the feast, he says, they don't believe in you, but you don't believe in me, but I'm going up to the feast, and he went up to the feast. And in John, Linda doesn't know this, but in John, on other teachings, we know if you're called the Son of God or Mashiach, what was the offense on that?
The death penalty.
The death penalty.
Yeah.
And so he was not identified as the Mashiach or the Son of God, which is synonymous. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, until he was before the high priest, and he identified himself.
He always told everyone not to tell anyone.
In John, it happens in chapter 1.
Yeah.
It's all the way through the Gospel of John. Even in John chapter 10, let's just go with this. This is kind of redundancy for the sake. But remember, they were trying to find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke false testimonies, mm-hmm. and they couldn't find any. Well, guess what? In John 10, verse 22, the feast of dedication took place at that time in where?
Jerusalem.
Are there Hebrews in Jerusalem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this a festival day? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And in 31, the Jews again lifted up stones that they might stone him. Yahushua answered them, many works have I shown you, noble ones from my Father. Which of these are you stoning me? The Jews answering him, concerning our noble work are we not stoning you, but concerning profane speech, because thou being a man art making thyself a God. Now remember, the word A is never in Greek or in Hebrew. And so if they put it a man, and he's going to explain that he is a God. Jesus answering them, is it not written in your law, as I say, what?
Ye are gods.
If these he called gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, of him whom the Father hallowed and sent forth into the world, are you saying, thou speakest profanely, because I said, what?
Son of God I am.
That is a death penalty.
Yeah, right there.
And he just said it in Jerusalem, but they don't do anything to him. Now, if you go into, you know, Matthew, you know, when he has been taken into Jerusalem, and Mark and Luke, the same situation.
Matthew what?
Well, I'll have to look it up, so I'm kind of on the fly right now. Matthew, let's see, what are we? That's 26. 59. Well, we know he was in Jerusalem. He just told everybody he's the Son of God. Now, the high priest and all the high council were seeking false witnesses against Yahushua that they might put him to death, and found not any, though many came forward as false witnesses. At length, however, there came forward two and said, this man said, I am able to pull down the shrine of God and in 3 days to build it. And the high priest arise and said unto him, nothing answerest thou, what are these against you bearing witness? But Yahushua was silent. And the high priest said unto him, I put thee on oath by the living God to say to us, thou say, whether thou art the what?
The Mashiach,
the Son of God. He already told everybody he was. And so those statements would have had him stoned in Jerusalem and kept murdered at that particular time in the Gospel of John. This is the only time he's going to say it, except to Peter. Peter said, you are the Mashiach, and he says, yes, be quiet, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Yahushua said unto him, Thou hast said, Moreover I say unto you, and then 65, then the high priest ran asunder his garment, saying, He has spoken profanely. What further need have we of witnesses? Now you have heard in profanity. How say you, or how to you does it seem? And they answering said, Guilty of death he is. And so you go into Mark and Luke, you find out he only identifies himself as the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of God, is in the end of his ministry.
He's finished.
And yeah, it's finished. Mm-hmm. And John, it starts off in chapter 1. Everybody knows it. He met the woman at the well, and the woman at the spring, and said, You are the Mashiach. I mean, so everybody was spreading out the Mashiach. So that was on day, the first year of his 3.5 year ministry, and John, which that would have been through the countryside, and he would have been put to death. So if you look at Son of God in the Gospel of John, it's all the way through there. The Christ, it's all the way through there. And so that which cannot be.
No.
Yeah, it cannot be.
Why is it there?
Because these are lessons, and you have to say, okay, these are lessons. Yahweh put it in here, and you're like, wow. You know, this is concerning because a lot of people might doubt the scriptures because once this is apparent, so it's only for the advanced individuals who know that, okay, open my eyes, and then I can ask, you know, the lesson upon lesson upon lesson upon lesson of what these are, the narratives, which are parables in that particular case. And when it agrees, obviously he was crucified, he was baptized. You know, so there's about probably 5 or 6 places where John agrees with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, or does not contradict that. Okay, so we'll go ahead and I'll give a prophecy. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words to our Lord, Savior, Mashiach, Yahushua. As you put on my word and as you meditate and dwell upon it, let my eyes, let me open your eyes in order that you may see the truths that I present before you. And do not be hesitant in accepting the truths that I brought before you, but ponder why I've placed these things in this particular order in order to open your eyes in order that you may be well pleased with the words that I have given. Amen. See you next week.
Pleasure. So I'm open.